The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone. It's 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for us to get together and watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our Arnold. I am your overlord, as always, Tony. Joined with me today is...
Brian.
We've grown out, we've ninny bun.
And I'm Joe.
See, sometimes it's fun to do jokes for just me and you, Rob. Nice planet. We'll take it. We did Mars Attacks from 1996. We'll do PG-13.
Was it really PG-13? Well, I guess, a lot of people died.
Yeah. This is directed by a little-known director, Tim Burton, I think, right?
Jack Burton?
Yes.
The Timber Toes Timber from Toes. Highlights Magazine for Kids?
That's what they were called.
Yeah. Those little stick figures?
Yeah, that was in my head a while back. What were those things called?
Yeah, they're pretty great.
I can't imagine why, but sure.
Don't judge me.
You didn't even need to ask Rich for that. No. I knew that.
So he also directed Planet of the Apes, Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows, Big Eyes.
This is what you're going with?
Charlie... Like I said when we did Jurassic Park, if you're going to give me the weak movie, I'm going to list the weak movies.
That All is right? fair.
We haven't decided whether this movie's weak or not.
I may have shown my hand, but that's all right.
Spoiler alert.
That is fine. We'll get there. So, what is your personal history with this movie? Brian, go.
I didn't see this movie until maybe 4 or 5 years after it had come out, and I saw it on TV. And I remember nothing of this movie.
Right, Rob?
I had like a tangential interest in this movie. Like, you and I used to have the Mars Attacks cards from Topps Trading Card Company.
Yep.
Until we found Dinosaurs Attack, and then I was like, Mars Attacks? What the crap is that? But I only saw this movie once, and it was, again, one of those things. I was building a Lego set, and I watched this movie in the background.
Okay. Joe?
I was dragged to see this in the theater.
Ooh.
I think I went along because at this point I didn't really know Tim Burton made bad movies. I really tried to like it, and I didn't, so I never saw it again after that.
Okay. I believe at this point Tim Burton really didn't make bad movies, but...
So it was his first?
It was the start of a new trend. I saw this movie in theaters. I saw it again at some point on VHS. I don't know if it was a rental or we owned it or what. DVD, whatever it was. But
we didn't own it.
That was like pre-2000, so it's been a while since I've seen this movie. I forgot a lot. Because I believe at the time, like you said, we collected the trading cards, and I liked the general concept. Could have been cool, and I liked Tim Burton. Anyway. So
this is the second movie we watched based off of trading cards?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The second one off of the Topps franchise.
Well, I mean, what else is there?
I guess I'm sure there's others out there.
Beyond Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, Topps is all you get.
There must be something. They're just not as big, I guess.
I can't wait for the Magic the Gathering movie. Let's get
there on. Probably is one, so.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah, come on. We got World of Warcraft. How far behind can Magic be? So, anyway, as we already pointed out, this is based on the Topps trading card franchise. Jonathan Gems, who is the writer of this movie, pitched both this and Mars Attacks and Dinosaurs Attacks to Tim Burton, but Dinosaurs Attacks was deemed a little too close to Jurassic Park.
Meanwhile, so. Independence Day was like the same friggin' year.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because it was 96, right?
Because a lot of this movie plays as like a parody of Independence Day, almost.
Yeah, I'm not...
Either that or Independence Day is so hackneyed and dumb that a movie that's...
Well, this is definitely playing off that type, mm-hmm. so it could go either way. But, and yeah, there might be something to the... They started filming this before they knew of Independence Day mm-hmm. or whatever.
Rich, what came out first? Yeah. Independence Day or Mars Attacks?
If you remember around this time, this is when you'd have like two movies about an asteroid and two movies yes. about a volcano. Yeah.
That was a popular thing.
Yeah.
Although this one is clearly going in a different direction. Mm-hmm. But Jonathan, our writer here, apparently wrote the screenplay for this movie before he realized, or was halfway done at least, with the screenplay before he realized that if you look at the back of the cards, they already have a story written on them. So this was not really based on the cards, like, at all.
Well,
maybe, inspired by.
So. Yes.
And the cards weren't based on anything either.
Well, no one's saying they were, but I mean, like, the cards had a fluid story if you did collect them all and read the back. I don't know how good it would have been, but I'm just saying. But yeah, and this might change your opinion on it. But Tim Burton intentionally wanted the special effects to look as lame as possible and as cheap as possible.
Mission accomplished.
Yes. Succeeded.
He originally had intended the aliens to be made in stop-motion animation. But
and he should have.
He probably should have.
Bottom line, period, should have.
But he was convinced that CGI would be better and cheaper and whatever else.
Cheaper?
Stop-motion is a lot of work.
It's yeah, good stop-motion.
It's time-consuming. But in 96, though?
Still, maybe, I don't know.
Beast Wars was like million something dollars an episode.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be right. Anyway.
Rich.
Yeah, I was fighting.
Have a good day, Rich.
I was fighting not to do that.
You're on duty.
Vacation's over.
while watching this, Brian asked if Warren Beatty was in this, and he was not, but he almost was, as the President of the United States. They also considered Paul Newman for the role. Michael Keaton was considered to play Art instead, and I guess just Jack Nicholson took up both roles because no one else wanted them? I don't know. Whatever. Johnny Depp also turned down a role as one of the reporters. I believe the Michael Keaton role. Michael J. Fox. Sorry, I just said Michael Keaton. And the first draft of this movie, all those guns had very different effects on people, which would have given them a much harsher rating, so they had to change all of that to just the disintegration into bones that we see. But originally there was going to be just head explosions and people being torn apart and limbs coming off. And
like some scanner stuff?
Yeah, all kinds of gruesome shit.
Does that cut exist somewhere?
I don't believe so. I don't think it ever got past the script phase.
Okay.
The Martian girl, they wanted to make that dress look like part of her body, so there were no zippers or buttons, so she was literally sewn into the dress every day on set.
Wow.
Okay. And reportedly...
How did you go to the bathroom?
Reportedly, one of the Martian attack dummies lives on through the Jeff Dunham puppet, the dead terrorist.
Oh, Ahmed?
It looks like him, kind of.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I guess he got pieces from my used... puppet from this movie or something?
You love puppets, Rob.
So, anyway, anyone want to guess at how much this movie cost to make?
Way more than it should have.
Okay, there's no way, sorry, there's no way in hell. No, absolutely not.
What?
There's no way that was a Mars Attacks prop.
Yeah, fair enough.
I know what it looks like, but...
The design is similar. But it's no.
I believe particularly they say the eyes were
okay.
I don't know if it's just like the mechanics that were behind them, or he might have repainted things. I don't know.
Sure. I mean,
I could see it.
Maybe.
I'm gonna say this movie cost.
Maybe it's bullshit. But anyway, yeah.
I'm gonna say this movie cost $80 million.
I'm gonna go with $47 million.
I have IMDb open right now, so I'm kind of disqualified.
Yeah, if you saw that hurt look at my face, Brian, when you just stumbled almost saying 70 and went for that 80, it was $70 million.
Oh, okay. Which is way more than it should have.
Yeah. So you want to guess at how much it made?
$50 million.
$47 million.
Did you see that as well?
Yes, I believe it was $101 million.
Wow.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
So the Met... Oh.
38
Yeah, so it did not do locally. Well in the U.S., yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think it would.
All right. And where did that money go, Joe? What are you doing there on IMDb?
All right, I'm going to start reading the cast, but it's fucking long, so you guys just keep going and I'll be in the background. All right?
Okay.
So
time for a snack break.
Yeah. So you got Jack Nicholson as President James Dale.
This is going to sound
Pierce
like...
Pierce Brosnan as Professor Donald Kessler. Sarah Jessica Parker as Natalie Lane.
We're supposed to keep going.
Annette Bening as Barbara Land. Glenn Close as First Lady
Marsha. Right, I wanted to give him some time Danny to get DeVito some of it out before we just talk gambler. Over him.
It's basically
Martin
like
Short,
the
press secretary
we didn't
Jerry
start
Ross.
The fire.
Yeah, they all die.
Cast. Yeah.
Everyone whose name is so far dies. Cox.
I'm going to stop reading their actual like characters.
Oh, yeah. Don't bother with that shit.
Yeah. All right, Michael J. Fox, you got Rod Steiger.
Dead meat,
you got
dead
Tom
meat,
Jones,
and dead meat. All right,
Lucas
so
Haas,
we start out with the movie Brown, with some Murray, crack about Sylvie Korean Sink, barbecue, I believe it was.
Green, no, it was.
Jack Black, Janice Rivera, Ray J.
Filipino,
Brandon
something
Hammond,
or
other. Joe Don Baker,
okay.
Olan Jones, Christine.
And
we,
because some redneck, you know, farmer guy is talking to his neighbor.
Chi
and
Wong
he thinks
Kai,
he's cooking something
Tom
up,
Butch,
but it turns out Joseph there's a bunch Mayer, of cows that come running down the street
Bunch,
on fire.
Horribly, horribly animated fire on
yeah,
them. Like,
oh, yeah.
Almost as bad as Lawnmower Man fire.
We'll get...
That's almost as bad, not as bad.
I think where we're getting the mmms from here is... And this, again, might be because Tim Burton intentionally wanted to look lame, but it was kind of like they took... That one, you know, gif of fire and just like, you know, pasted it.
No,
multiple
that
times.
Was Lawnmower Man. No, this was.
No, Lawnmower Man was just
this
like.
Might have been two or
no,
three.
No, this was
different
like the same
fire
on every cow.
Yes. Lawnmower Man was more like, what was Geo? What was, or Jaguar? One of those
no,
early
it was
video
like,
games?
It was like a 16-bit graphic of flame that they just cut and pasted over every surface of this guy. This was, yeah, it was poorly animated fire for sure. And poorly blended and poorly added. And
yeah. This was at least like PS1 quality.
Was it not giving off any light of its own? And
no. These cows were clearly not on fire.
It was
at
bad.
All.
It was bad.
But yeah. It smelled good.
Yeah, it smelled delicious.
Apparently, it smelled delicious. So the president finds out. I'm sorry. First, we see a shuttle, a flying saucer rather, flies off from the field somewhere. And returns to a bunch of other Martians
yeah,
that are waiting
matter.
Him.
The president finds out.
Yeah. Yep. Well, they all start a very lengthy credit scene happens where we see all these ships revolving around the Earth.
See a big-ass cast.
Well, like, you can see the Earth from Mars, like, clearly.
Yep.
So already...
Like you're on the moon.
Yeah, already it's fucked up. Like.
But anyway, the president is told that there's a bunch of these spacecrafts in orbit. And we don't know what they're going to do, and they're arguing what the next step should be. The Secretary of Defense is screaming to nuke them, yes?
Yeah.
I don't... Who's the other one?
At this point, like, well, there you go. There's a central problem emerges. This movie has a gigantic cast. A good third of it or so dies off right at the beginning of Act 2.
Yeah.
And we spend time developing these characters for, like, no reason.
Let's
no.
just call him Poland Cal. Okay.
Yeah.
This is another thing I read. Apparently, there was originally going to be 60 main characters, but they cut it down to 23.
Mm.
I can't even imagine.
Why? Like, why even bother making them? Like, ugh.
He wanted the movie poster to look like that poster of the Springfield Residence.
I mean, I'll admit, I was excited when I saw this cast.
Oh, maybe yeah.
And then it didn't occur to me that I'm like, you can't possibly have that many characters in a movie and have them do anything of note.
No, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Tim Burton went to all of his celebrity friends and was like, hey, I'm going to make a sci-fi B movie. You guys want to be in it? And they're like, yeah, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. You can't make a B movie with a $70 million budget. Like,
well, like, we know that
he was
now.
Like, hold my beer.
Also, if I can interject. I have a feeling that this was also him saying, listen, guys, I'm going to cast for this movie. And from now on, I am only going to pick from the people that are in this movie for every other movie I do from here on out.
Except for Johnny Depp. Except for
Johnny Depp. Exactly.
Well, Johnny Depp gets a free pass because he was in everything beforehand. But so
where
and Helena Bonham Carter was.
Where does this fall in relation to Ed Wood? This came out before or
after?
After.
Obviously, he was inspired. Yeah. But so, yeah. So we're as Independence Day, we get a quick little thing, a very generic. Yeah, this is this guy. This is what he does, or whatever. And we kind of just kind of get into stuff a little quicker.
The argument right now is: do we nuke them or do we talk to them? And only one guy is shouting, nuke him. The rest are shouting, talk to him. So the president's like, oh, let's talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're also getting, we get this Art Lanz, who's opening a hotel, who's also Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson is an unnecessary second character.
Yeah, doesn't matter. No bearing on the plot whatsoever.
We get a newscaster who's doing stuff.
No bearing on the plot whatsoever.
Nope. Sarah Jessica Parker, who's got her own thing going on. No real bearing on the plot whatsoever.
Pierce Brosnan kind of has a slight bearing in the beginning. And then he has a relationship with Sarah Jessica Parker.
That's the only her baby is that she's cheating on her husband. Well, she wants to cheat on her husband with Pierce Brosnan. Oh, wait, are they married? They're married, right?
I don't even know. I was just going to ask.
They live together.
Who knows?
They do live together.
All right.
But her husband or boyfriend is Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're gonna cheat on him?
Which, I mean, you're arguing the Michael J. Fox angle. I would argue more the... You certainly at one point make him a lot more sympathetic because, like, when shit goes down, he's running to save her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And no offense, you're Sarah Jessica Parker. Not a lot of people are going to run to save him. I'm just saying.
And I mean, yeah, he seems like he was kind of an ass, but when the chips were down, like, that was his first
thought.
Yeah,
like, I thought that was totally going to be, like, you know, a bait and switch, and he's, like, run over to save her, and he goes to save the dog or, I don't know, like, her ring or something. You know, something sleazy, so you're like, okay, well, she should cheat on it. But no. Like, he was a stand-up dude, and she just kind of sucks.
The hero of the movie dies in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
I wish it was the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess the actual, one of the main heroes of the movie, Richie, played by Nick Haas, like, we find out that he lives in a trailer with Joe Don Baker, spawned Jack Black.
Yeah,
his brother's Jack Black.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does, though. It does.
Kind of does.
Jack Black is going off on Martian detail.
Yeah, he's off to fight in the war or whatever they're doing. He
looks pretty svelte, too. He's like,
Jack
almost in shape. Yeah.
Maybe that's where that whole budget went into. Just CGI-ing his gut out.
Program. Just girdles.
I think this is just far enough back where he didn't, like.
Are you sure he wasn't the guy that was sewn into his costume the whole time?
Just sewn into a girdle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Richie takes his grandmother back to the home, because that's kind of relevant later.
You see, Jim Brown works at a casino, but he's married. Well, he's divorced from Pam Grier. Mm-hmm. Sucks to be him.
Yep.
And the kids are missing because they're off playing this really shitty game called Flesh Eaters.
Kids are being kids. They're in arcade.
The game is done in the same art style as the cards were. Yeah. So I think it was just kind of a throwback to that. It was just a nod to the cards.
Okay.
Right. It was the same like gore and everything.
I never saw the cards, so I don't.
Yeah, that's
I have a sneaking suspicion there's probably a card that looked just like that.
Probably
image
we
see at one point.
Yeah.
But they're just. You know, they're skipping school, being crazy, whatever.
The only character trait we get of Martin Short's character is that he likes hookers. I guess that will be important later.
Sort of? No, not really.
I guess it's important-ish. As important as anything in this plot is.
Yeah. Natalie Portman's farting around somewhere.
Yeah.
She might as well not even be there. She's the president's daughter, and she's just as blank and useless as she's been in any movie we've seen her in for this podcast.
And then Glenn Close, who you would get excited about being here, is just playing.
She sucks.
Yeah.
She's got two lines. It's like whatever.
Yeah. The president's wife.
Still waiting for Natalie Portman to prove she can act.
So yeah, we get like a half an hour of this, and it just occasionally.
Longer than that feels like.
Probably.
This
occasionally
movie does not use its time well.
No. Occasionally just cuts back to those flying saucers and just like, just in case you forgot.
They're just waiting.
This. hey, when's it our turn? We get to do something now?
Well, they cut in now. They interrupt the TV broadcast to go, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Make the universal sign of the donut.
And to let them know that they're coming down, I guess.
Yeah, but immediately you've blown your load. It's like, here's what they look like. And then they have this whole setup after that of everybody nervous waiting around while the ship is coming down. And it's like, we already know what they look like. So it was this whole, like, tense moment.
They come down in Nevada somewhere. I forgot where, but doesn't matter. Vegas.
Yep.
The desert.
They land. There's an ambassador there to try and talk with them with some device that supposedly can translate what they're saying based on things.
He took that one announcement that they made. He triangulated, extrapolated, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is how they sound. And, like, he still can't make it work, so we don't know what the fuck they're actually saying.
Right, like, you took a video that's completely no context to it. You don't know what he's saying. You don't know what it's implying. So how do you extrapolate language from that?
Yeah.
I think what would have made this funny, because this is supposed to be a funny movie. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like,
it's a comedy.
Is if they subtitled The Martians for us, like, we know that no one else knows what they're saying.
Well, the funny thing is, as we find out later, I'm pretty sure this device is working at translating them properly.
Oh, yeah. I think they're just lying.
Yeah, they're just being dicks.
Because this one, they were
probably... Spoiler alert, later on, we see one of them walking around with a thing saying, you know, we come in peace or whatever, as they shoot everybody.
Don't run, we're your friends.
Yeah.
I just think it would be funny if, like, you know, it was saying...
Because he's probably, in this one, he's probably calling for their surrender or something on this announcement, and they're like, oh, well, let's welcome them down here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we get people together. We're told we need to get a good sampling of the media, which apparently means like the local news plus a fashion show, which just happened to be the two that are dating.
It's like CNN that's and TMZ. It. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
Like, no one from around the world, no other countries are involved in all
at
this.
All.
No.
Whatsoever.
No, they wouldn't.
There's just a bunch of people from Nevada that are gathered around to watch this.
A quick scene in France and a quick scene in India, and that's all you see of the rest of the world.
Yeah. Like, what time period is this set in?
I have no idea.
They're saying it's around the turn of the, like, it's a new millennium, but, like, there's no, like, it looks like it's from the 60s.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And this is much of the movie's issues, for lack of a better word. This is supposed to be a modern day thing, as far as I can tell. Like, when it's 1996 when it came out, it's supposed to be around 1996 then. They say, like you said, you know, the beginning of the new millennium and whatever. But Tim Burton intentionally made it very much like the 50s to match all those, you know, bad B movies.
It's like Batman the Animated Series rules.
Mm-hmm. Kind of, yeah.
All of the military vehicles you see in this are Vietnam era.
All the vehicles, and no one pulls out a cell phone or anything. Mm-hmm.
No,
it's too early for that anyway, but no, 96, no, that would have...
They existed, but they were big and bulky.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even the TVs are, like, older, smaller.
Yeah, again, it's very much intended to be, like, you know, them or...
Oh, yeah.
Because, and, like...
Whatever.
And I gotta be honest, on that level, for me, it kind of works. Mm-hmm. As someone who's probably... I'm just going to say, I've probably seen more cheesy 50s B-movies than the rest of the people at this table.
I'll give you that.
Probably.
Like, it does feel like that.
Yeah.
It does have that feel. And even, like, the cheesy, the cheesy special effects on some levels work, but because he went with CGI, I think if he had gone for crappy special effects and gone with practical crappy special effects, it would have worked. But because he went with CGI, it just looks like bad CGI.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We don't know enough about CGI at that point to know if this was intentionally bad CGI or just bad CGI.
So, yeah, because at this point, you're conditioned when you see CGI to think, like, you know, it should look real. And then, like, that the flying saucer comes and it almost lands on the ground. Well, but
96,
not quite.
I don't know if we're conditioned to see that yet.
No.
Well, like, it's a time period set for, like...
Well, at least trying to be real.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Like, if the time period is set for, like, the 50s or whatever, then it makes sense that, like, you know, having the whole world involved is just the United States, because, like, that literally is every movie that we made around then. We said, fuck the rest of the world. Yeah. We're everything. We're our world championship for baseball is on the United States during that time. You know, world champs for NFL is world champions for National Football League or, you know, the U.S.
It means, like, all 50 states.
Yeah, like, so, like, it makes sense for that.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at here, is the whole, like, I do, as a B-movie lover or whatever, I do appreciate the doing the 50s-style era, but, like, just set it in the 50s, then. Why, we don't make it modern day. We gain nothing by that.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's Tim Burton, and that's his style. Like, even if you watch, like,
no, I get
Batman
it.
Or Batman Returns.
Yeah, like, and Edward Scissorhands still had that weird style,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, probably that's just all the same props from his other movies.
It very, very probably was.
In fact, there one scene on one of the alien spaceships. If you look in the back, there's a clown there. That was the clown from one of the clowns, at least, from Batman Returns.
Okay.
All right, so moving this along, General Casey's, he's in charge of welcoming the aliens. And they say they come in peace, and it looks like, you know, everything's going to be fine when a hippie releases a dove.
Damn dirty hippies. Yeah,
and that alien ambassador flips out, shoots that shit from the sky.
Yep.
And then it's murder time.
Yeah, all hell breaks loose. They start murdering everyone. Mm-hmm. I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, what do you think of the blaster effects? I kind of like the skeleton thing. The flesh corroding away didn't look right, but I like the turning them into the green and red skeletons.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I think it's that weird combo of, like, I think this was actually intentionally kind of crappy looking, mm-hmm. but, and at that level it works, but I can't quite tell, so it just looks weird and kind of unpleasant.
Yeah. I mean, the whole scene for me is, like, there's only four of these aliens, and you have, like, a huge army of people.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, why were there so many casualties?
Well, yeah, and it's like they're surrounded by tanks, and you see the tanks' guns fire, but you never see any effect of that.
Yeah.
And I know they want to say, like, that, you know, the ship's armor is good enough, I guess, but, like, show a shell deflect off of it or something.
Yeah, that was my problem. It's not like they wanted to be, like, the ship's armor is good enough, because mm-hmm. they show... I started thinking, oh, maybe they got some kind of defense, but then we see one of them drops.
Yeah.
So it's like, clearly they can be killed, so why are you just so inefficient at it?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
The minute I saw one of them get shot and go down, like, my whole head was fucked up, because I'm like, the army is there. Those dudes shoot guns on a regular basis to be marksmen on purpose. You know what I mean? Like once you see that one can be shot down, there was freaking 1,000 troops there and only four fucking aliens. It should have been a wrap.
And as we mentioned, there's tanks there. Multiple tanks. One tank, one shell into that cluster where they're all hanging out by the front of that ship. That's going to be enough to break all their little glass helmet thingies, and then they're dead.
Yeah,
that's all it takes. Yeah. We see that later. But
mm-hmm. I mean, and the tank has several machine guns on it that should be up to the job.
That too.
I mean, and really, it should be up to the job of blowing the flying saucer up too.
Well, yeah. But I mean, the point is they seem to have multiple options and utilize none of them. But instead we see Jack Black is raging into battle to be all awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he just dies.
In front of his parents.
Oh, and he does the cliche, like, eject the magazine when he pulls the trigger. Like, that doesn't happen. The safety's clearly different from the trigger. Like, I don't know.
And again, I think that was meant to be more of a joke, because in the first scene we see with him, he's putting together a gun. So it's supposed to be like, oh, he's really good with guns or whatever, or at least he thinks he is. But he also seems to be mostly on the sidelines. So, again, I'm sure there's more of a joke there. Yeah. We just never actually explore it because we don't have time. So it's just wasted.
Yeah. Speaking of characters we don't have time for, Michael J. Fox goes to try to save Sarah Jessica Parker, whose truck fell over, makes this heroic run across the field and dives for her. She grabs his hand and that's it.
Yeah. That's all she's got left. Yeah, it's his hand.
He's a green skelly man.
Yep. So the aliens,
they take her.
Aliens nab her and her dog. Yeah.
Yep. And her purse.
Right. And her purse.
Well, apparently she's attractive to Martians.
Mm.
Yeah, they picked the weirdest, like, haircut style for her, because she looks...
Oh, yeah, this...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a weird hairstyle. Like, it's a 90s hairstyle. Mm. Like,
I mean, who else did they have there to pick from, though?
I think it's more like that, you know, more to be that 50s style, whatever.
You mean but at all, or...
In that scene.
Oh, in the scene. Annette Bening.
She was the shiniest.
She was off on side charging her crystal.
That's right. She was charging her crystal.
All right. So
I believe they call it the Goliath.
Yeah. Now, as the saucer flies away, it suddenly looks like everyone there is dead.
Or gone.
Well, yeah, just
More missing. Just evaporated.
Right. All the tanks are gone. The helicopters,
most
I guess,
of those
are shot
skeletons
down.
We saw seem to be gone.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It cleaned up nice. So Pierce Brosnan is the scientist guy. He's like, I think that was just a cultural misunderstanding. And General Decker, shout out to Van Helsing from Modern Vampires. You know, he's just like, let's fucking attack them. Like, they just killed a bunch of our stuff.
Yeah, they attacked us. They shot a bunch of people. Everyone there is dead. We got to go to war. This is trouble. We need to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, no, it's just a misunderstanding.
Yeah,
they must think birds mean war. Which, honestly, that would have been funnier if that was the case.
I think it would have been funnier if they just hated hippies.
Or that. Mm-hmm. Either way.
Yeah.
But it would have been, I think it would have been, you know, a bit more funny if it was just like, oh, everything was going well. They actually did mean peace, but then, you know.
Again, something stupid would have been nice.
Well, yeah, there are definitely subtitles would have helped with that.
I mean, I would have liked it if the bird pooped on him.
Right.
And then that was it.
It's a wrap.
Sure.
Like something minor set it off. All right. So now the Martians issue an apology. No. First, like, the president uses the translator machine to be like, you know, or we'll give you another chance. There was a misunderstanding. And then, they're like, sure. Yeah. We'll, we'll go back and we'll meet you again. But you
with
see them.
Congress.
Yeah. You see them on the ship laughing about it. And
which, yeah, again, there would have been better with maybe some subtitles like these rubes.
Yeah.
Look at this.
And, like, they're doing some science on the ship. Some, like, science with a question mark or science with an exclamation point.
They're just pervs.
Yeah. So they're looking at porn, which maybe just doesn't exist on their world. I don't know.
I guess.
Well, I mean, they don't have genitals.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they don't seem to have genders. Yeah.
I don't know. That Playboy certainly rustles the Emperor's cheek flaps.
That's true.
So then, like, they take Sarah Jessica Parker, put her head in a jar. It's clearly not there. Then they take her dog's head and put it on her body.
She reminded me of Jambi.
She was like Jambi.
I could see that. I couldn't get past the thought of, you know, this is the start down the Futurama world. Mm-hmm. Where every celebrity just has a head in the jar.
Yeah. Which I started watching again. I love the show.
Get ready to cry.
Yeah, until it breaks your heart.
I know.
Nixon's back.
Riddled with the bites.
Well, I started at season 7. That's what's on Netflix now. So they got rid of the first 6 seasons.
Wow. So let's not set Tony off on this.
But it's so easy. Right.
I know it is. That's why it's a problem.
Yeah. We're in front of Congress to issue an apology.
They don't know the first 6 seasons. That's all.
Anyway. Contract right now. That's how it happens.
All right. So, yeah, they go to address Congress. You know, why they let these people talk to Congress, I don't know. Like,
it makes no sense.
Like I said, I would have filled the room with green berets and suits with all kinds of guns and just said, that's Congress. That's how Congress meets.
Yeah, that's how we do things here.
Like I said, we could also try dummies or sheep or pretty much anything because we don't know what the aliens know about us.
Yeah,
have snipers in the room.
They definitely have snipers. Also, you know, maybe I know metal detectors won't work, but maybe pat them down something.
Like, at the very least, snipers. Like, I was totally expecting red dots to be on these Martians the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, you make a move out of line, and it's just pat, 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 pat.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess in the 50s, that wasn't a thing we do yet.
But it's not the 50s.
Kind of was, though. This is what I'm saying. This is such a weird idea for a movie.
Listen, if Kennedy taught us anything, it's that snipers existed in the 50s.
That was the 60s.
It was the 60s.
Yes.
But my point remains.
He was trained in the 50s.
I'm sure they existed, but maybe they weren't as,
Oh, they absolutely were.
Wow.
So anyway, basically, like, the alien just destroys Congress.
Yeah.
They just wipe everyone out.
Everyone in Congress.
They kill half the people on their way out.
Yeah.
Again, it's just...
None of them get killed.
Three of these freaking aliens.
Also, this is one where I loved where it's, they just kind of land on the front lawn in front of the Congress building. Mm-hmm. And, like, they have military... And like kind of blocking off this lawn, and then they have a group of just people, hippies, whatever, it's, you know, bystanders, and then like more military with like tanks and stuff. Like, don't you know this is a threat now? Keep them the fuck away.
Yeah, but they're hippies. It's called a meat shield.
Either way, just
okay.
even if your guns don't work, just drive the tank right at the three of them.
Yeah, really.
Just run them over.
And why was immolation not ever a thing? Like,
I don't know.
It's called napalm. You don't need a nuke. You need napalm.
Oh, they are in HEV suits, so maybe that might actually protect them.
Yeah, until the heat pops that bubble on their heads, and then they're just done.
I think the real point here is, why didn't we try?
Yeah.
Fire at those.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Fire throw those everything tanks on their back.
Maybe a bazooka.
Yeah, throw everything at them and see what works.
Chuck Norris.
John Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would have at least brought all of that along, just in case.
Yeah, I guess he hadn't fought Predator yet.
Mm-hmm.
No?
All right.
This is actually 1996 he had, so.
Oh, yeah. At this point, they. Not only do the three of them get out, but one of them butt strokes Pierce Brosnan, knocks him out, and the two of them carry him off. So only one of them is returning fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just easily escape. Now, Sarah Jessica Parker's head is mounted on her dog, and we get some really bad special effects of Pierce Brosnan, who has been taken apart.
So. Yeah. Again, he's just a head floating on like a one of those things you put above your crib.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was with the aliens. When they took Sarah Jessica Parker's head off, like, I was with them up until they put the dog head on there.
They didn't have a lot of options at the time. I think if they had waited, they would have realized if they just put Pierce Brosnan's head on her body, then you're set.
That actually would have been better.
Yeah.
Or just put that lady mask that the alien had on later just over Sarah Jessica Parker's head, I guess.
Wow.
So speaking of that, that happens right now. They deploy an undercover hooker.
I do want to point out, though, hold on.
What's that?
Because Pierce Brosnan's head meets Sarah Jessica Parker's head on a dog.
Yeah.
And, like, now, mind you, she's just been kidnapped by aliens. Her head's been taken off, put on a dog's body. Her husband died in her hands in front of her.
Yeah.
Her first words to Pierce Brosnan was, when you were on my show and you flirted with me, did you mean to flirt with me? Because I liked it.
Were you really flirting with me?
Now, that again, was
her first words.
Again, I want to revert back to... So, if this was a 50s B-movie, that's what would have happened. Like, the two protagonists would have gotten together in horrible circumstances, and whatever those circumstances would have been completely ignored while they flirt together.
Well, that's why, again, spoiler alert, I'm a bit more lenient on this one, because it definitely seems to be what he's going for, whether misguided or not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But in the context of, like, a modern movie, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's, again, what makes
in the context of a movie, it's ridiculous, which is why it's a B movie.
Yeah.
So the only person who liked this movie, besides Tony, was Quentin Tarantino? Was it?
No, because Sarah Jessica Parker only showed her feet once.
Pam Grier's in it. She loves him some Pam Grier.
Samuel L. Jackson's not in it, though.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. So that.
Yeah, if Pam Grier at any point had shown her feet, he'd be down.
Okay.
He'd be down on the floor.
I'm just imagining Samuel Jackson as one of the aliens. She's just painted green with like a brain hat.
Ack, ack, ack!
Ack, 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 motherfucker!
All right, so. Yeah, they deploy an undercover. She's not dead yet, so she's still a call girl. but yeah, so Martin Short's just like, I'm all about that, even though she doesn't talk. And moves in a really
like,
weird, swishy manner.
This hooker showed up to the White House front lawn by herself.
Yep.
And like...
She was deployed by a bus.
Yeah. Let me just, you know, let me pick her up right here in front of the White House because that's what hookers do.
Granted, if it was the 50s, it's entirely possible.
I mean...
Modern day, it could end up happening again. But... Anyway, the point is, this girl is clearly like out of sorts. She's super tall. She's
floating. Got
this big beehive haircut. I was just going to say, she floats forward, kind of moves her arms not back and forth, but side to side. Mm-hmm.
She looks like a Tim Burton character.
Yeah, well, yes.
Wearing a dress that was sewn onto her.
Yeah. Yeah, and it did a good job of, I mean, like, there were clearly, like, you know, where the neck began, or a neck ended and the dress began, vice versa, whatever. But, like, it had a good subtle, like, I wasn't always sure how much was skin or what was dress and what was happening.
So Martin Short takes her over to a statue of John F. Kennedy, flips the head back to reveal a secret button, which takes them into a library slash sex dungeon?
Fuck dungeon.
It's a fuck dungeon, yeah.
And it's the Kennedy room.
Yeah, maybe it just had some really nicely bound, like, Playboys or something. I don't know. Yeah, and or then, like, a
maybe
fish
those
tank.
Were, you know, like, Kennedy's little black book.
Yeah.
Of all the women.
JFK.
Their numbers.
JFK. All
right, so he's trying to get intimate with her, and he decides, he's like, let me take that gum out of your mouth. And she's like, let me take that finger off your hand, and just bites his finger off.
Yep.
Spits it in the fish tank.
Yeah, this is just messed up.
And they were eating it, too.
Yep.
God, they're eating it.
And, yeah, he goes to call for help. She bludgeons him to death with a statue or something.
Yeah. She got in. That's all she needed.
Mm.
Once again, special effects kind of wonky here with the... She now has a rip inside of her face. You can see there's an alien underneath. She goes to put in more gum, because as we find out later, that's how she's able to breathe without the whole helmet. Which also, why more aren't using this, I could never tell you.
Mm.
But when she opens her mouth, the side teeth don't move at all. It's kind of ridiculous, but...
Yeah. Also, as Brian pointed out, like, these aliens breathe nitrogen, and our atmosphere is mostly nitrogen.
Yeah, like, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I guess maybe not enough nitrogen, but it's like... I think it's like 70% nitrogen or something crazy like that.
Yeah, it's only like 12% oxygen.
Yeah.
That's, again, it's very fitting for like a 50s B movie to not understand these things and whatever, but weird in a modern day setting.
At least they're not allergic to water.
Mm. Yeah, and they True wore that. Suits.
True that.
And they wore suits.
Yeah. she gets into the bedroom with the president. Doesn't even have to get past the guard for the...
Nope. Nothing.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much of anyone around.
Yeah. And yeah, just pulls out like a laser pistol, and the dog barks, frags the dog.
Yeah, that's the death of the dog. Yeah. It's enough to
you
wake
shoot
up.
Shoot my dog, man.
Yeah.
Shoot my dog.
I wish this would happen, but instead of being sad, Glenn Close just like dives off the bed, grabs the dog's skull, and throws it at the alien.
Good for her.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but like, really, the dog skull? Yeah. You couldn't like do the lamp or something like this?
That dog was there for pictures. That she established immediately that that's what she was about.
Yeah it's true.
So, I. The Martian attempts to take the president hostage, eventually it ends up getting shot, and that's that. And like, so now the Emperor's like, fuck it, we're just full invasion. You know, we're going like all cards on the table. And so now like we begin, like, I guess kind of the third act.
Mars attacks.
Yeah, but it's like there's like half an hour left of the movie.
Yeah.
And like we've wasted a lot of time.
Well, there was more still.
Yeah, weird side note. How do we get through that possible hostage situation? Because is this where the kids have their school field trip?
No, that's next.
That's next.
Okay.
Yeah. This was the night before.
You guys are going to say, like, did they just walk through the night into the morning somewhere?
Something happened that distracted the alien and then all the guards shot it.
Okay.
I forgot what.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. So now it's full attack. I did like the scene where they there were a bunch of Cub Scouts at the Washington Monument, and a alien spaceship flies by, shoots the base of the monument, so it's going to fall over, and then flies and keeps adjusting the monument to make sure that it falls right on the Cub Scouts.
That's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then like they attack the White House. And the, you know, president and all his men are trying to get out. Glenn Close decides to stand still like an idiot. And they shoot a chandelier out. And it falls right on a Glenn Close doll. Which was satisfying.
This was amusing, I guess.
Yes. But we at this point, we realize that Jim Brown's character, his kids, are on a field trip at the White House. During this attack, so now it shows these kids in their little tour, and they're all like, "What's that noise?" And it's just a time waster. But when the Martians finally show up, the kids are like, "We've been playing video games. We got this."
Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Pixels, everybody.
Yeah. Now normally I'm against this kind of stuff.
So bad.
But like, I don't know. I think it worked in this context.
The way they just said, Get that president out of here.
Yeah.
Just
what I didn't get is like, why didn't they take those kids with them?
I don't know.
Because those kids told them to leave.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. The kids still want blood. They were
had guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were lighting them up. They're like, God,
we're going for the high score.
Yeah.
They grabbed the alien blaster. Shit. They were all about that shit.
I'd be more interested in why they left these kids with these weapons.
Welcome to Earth.
And now, like we mentioned earlier, Jack Nicholson's playing a second character. He's playing this like
Art
cowboy
Lands,
Art Land. Yeah, he's trying to make his grand hotel. It's got like a UFO theme. And the aliens come and they shoot the tower. The tower starts to fall over. This giant model of the Earth rolls over and crushes them. And you're like, what was the point of this character? Like,
he had so much screen time.
Yeah. Yeah. For nothing.
Yeah. The point of this character was to have more characters. Like, again, it's that weird thing of this is, if this was like a Friday the 13th movie, you have these characters to have, you know, a higher body count. But we don't. Like, it's not like you're doing those kind of deaths, so it's not really that satisfying when it happens. Mm-hmm. And plus, like, if that is the case, learn the structure of that. Like, you know, you have a one-note character, they just do this thing, and then they die. And that's all they need to be. We don't need to have a whole backstory about, you know, he used to live in Iowa, and, you know, his mother was a drunk, and his father beat him. Or like, we don't need to know all that if he's going to die in the next 5 minutes.
What killed me the most was, like, when I saw him as Jack plays both characters, I'm thinking, all right, the president's going to die. They're going to use him to lure the aliens out.
Dave?
Yeah, you know, something stupid because, you know, we've seen that scene before. Like, no, just kill him, whatever.
Yep.
Waste a lot of time.
So, the movie raises the stakes here. It's Tom Jones time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We get a musical number.
Just us?
Just us.
Just you.
All right.
All right. It's not unusual. No. Still no.
All right.
So, the singing would bring everybody in. No. That is exactly what Tom Jones is doing. He's having a little sing and dance number when suddenly his backup singers go missing in some darkness and they're replaced by some of these aliens who are totally down for it.
Yeah, they had good timing because that's a shitty guitar solo that they ended up with.
But they were dancing with him. They were feeling it.
You could just smell the hormones coming off that guy.
See, I would have liked this a little better if Tom Jones kind of went with it for a little while and, like, they were still dancing along, having a good time, and he, like, came over the microphone stand and just beat the shit out of them or something like that.
That would have been good.
Yeah. See, I also would have liked if, like, if he didn't realize and kept singing and they kept kind of going along with the music and firing into the audience, and that's how he realized. Mm. That would have been nice.
So, either way, he meets up with... what's her name? Annette Bening's character, who we haven't even discussed, but she does not have a point in this movie either.
What is her deal?
Wow. Meets up with her and Jim Brown's character, who I actually liked.
Yeah. You know,
and Danny DeVito, who's just like, hey, I'm Danny DeVito.
Hey, I'm in this because I'm in this.
Yeah. He is just the angry gambler. That's all he's called. Yeah. A rude gambler.
Both.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just there. So
not for long.
I guess Annette Bening has a plane. And
a waitress they get.
Yeah, they find this waitress. Yeah. Cool.
Very cool waitress.
Yeah.
I guess they're just there to repopulate the Earth later. I don't know.
Tom Jones can fly a plane.
Yeah. She's trying to get to her plane so she can get away. He's trying to get to Washington so he can get to Pam Grier and their kids. And they're like, this is our plan. We're going to sneak through this, this neon graveyard. Mm-hmm. Whatever's going on here. I think that's a thing.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito's just being a bitch, and he decides to go in a different direction, runs himself afoul of an alien, and he gets shot. He tries bargaining with it, but whatever. He gets shot.
He offers him a Rolex.
Yeah.
Yeah, and gets shot. So the president at this point, he's like, let's use our nukes. And because... I believe at this point, Brian pointed out nukes have never really solved the problem.
Yeah, launching nukes has, I don't know what movie where it's worked.
Mm-hmm.
And might I add, so there is a scene where the aliens.
It pains me to say it, but Armageddon.
But they didn't launch a nuke.
Like, they didn't launch, that's true. They placed it.
Yeah.
Good. I didn't want Armageddon to be what proved you wrong.
So there's a scene where the aliens are watching television.
Mm-hmm.
They do end up watching a Godzilla movie. Mm-hmm. And
And Dukes of Hazzard.
And Dukes of Hazzard.
But for like a hot second, you think Godzilla's in this movie for like a hot second.
Yeah. No, seriously.
And you were like, not happy.
I had like a 1/8 Tom Jones going on. Mm-hmm. And
that's still pretty sizable.
It is. Like, I don't, you know, not
that's
since
nothing
my,
to sneeze at.
Not since my teens. But, you know, so I was like, dude, could this be real? Like, because that means these aliens are done. And I get to watch a Godzilla movie, which is just as cheesy, but so much better. Mm.
These aliens, nothing. This is my thought process with all this.
That's why they didn't attack Japan. You don't see them attacking Japan. They were like, that's what Japan's got?
Yeah.
Ack, ack, ack. No, we'll stay in America.
That's fair. But having done the research prior, I was like, oh, wait. So he pitched them Mars Attacks and Dinosaurs Attacks. But Dinosaurs Attacks is too much like Jurassic Park. So we're going to kind of throw them together. And these Martians start throwing dinosaurs at people. And that would be amazing. Yeah,
Martian Dinosaurs Attack.
Yeah.
Should have gone with that.
Why did that not happen here?
CGI.
So
that would have made it terrible, but it could have happened.
All right, so long story short, the nukes don't work. They send out a little interceptor thing. The nuke blows up. This thing sucks the entire explosion inside it, takes it in the ship, and the alien emperor smokes it.
Yeah, he just vapes
like,
it.
Yeah, like a joint.
Yeah, well,
or like a
like a bomb. Helium balloon, actually. Yeah. And then he does his little high-pitched.
Yeah. Not really how that works, but okay.
Hey, that's cute.
Yeah.
Fine, whatever. All
right. Richie's like, I gotta go get grandma. And then
he's still here.
This one alien turd in a Death Walker comes by.
Well, it's funny because he's like, I want to get grandma. And his parents are like, fuck her.
Yeah. We need to save the television.
You save this. You protect this trailer.
Yeah. In the name of Jack Black, you stay here and defend this trailer.
Mitchell. Yeah.
Mitchell. She's going to die anyway. Whatever. Fuck her.
Mitchell.
So... Yeah, the walker comes by, picks up the parents' trailer and a different trailer and just smashes them together, Godzilla style.
Yeah.
Did he walk tall?
No.
He walked hard.
But I think America actually reverse engineered that for the Jaeger program later on in Pacific Rim.
I like this. So what even happens now? Oh, so this is when you get a montage of, like, the UFOs fly around and, like, blow up Mount Rushmore. They make it into alien heads. And then they take a giant bowling ball and bowl it through Easter Island, knocking the big heads over.
Yeah. I mean, they...
Smackity, smackity, doo.
They bowl it through Easter Islands as seen in Beast Wars, the Transformers cartoon. Yeah, CGI is pretty terrible all around here.
Not even. This is a still shot that you got as a free background for your computer that they just used Photoshop to flop these things over when this ball came through.
But this is where we actually...
Monty Python style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
You all right?
I think so.
Okay.
Moe's attacks.
I don't want to move.
Speaking of Monty Python, did a big stinky foot just come out of your mouth?
Come on, that was really topical. Nobody laughs? Fine. So, I mean, we get to see other countries finally, but it's so brief that it's like...
Where, I believe, France calls and says that they've made a peace treaty with them. They're telling the president, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just,
and he's, you know, he's warning them, like, no, get out, get out!
Can we at least have had that been a different country and have France, like, surrendering to them?
Freedom fries, Joe. Yeah. Freedom fries.
So that's a bit played.
But at this point, we get to Grandma's, the home she's in, and she's listening to her Slim Whitman record with the headphones on.
The aliens are like backing up this giant death ray thing.
Yeah,
ridiculous. Right to the back of her head.
Look, this is the end of the Martians. Like, if they had just shot her like everyone else, then their downfall wouldn't have happened.
Probably would have destroyed her Slim Whitman record.
Yep.
Probably, yeah.
Just destroy this whole thing. You got those mechs.
But what happens is that she turns around, the cord from the headphones gets knocked out of the plug, like what happens every week here on the 4AM podcast with me. And
you get a lot of feedback like you did earlier.
The Martians get an earful of Slim Whitman.
Boo!
some yodel-a-da-ludin-ludin. Wow.
Yeah, and it makes your head want to explode.
My head hurts right now.
Sounded like That sounded like ghost porn. Yeah. So, yeah, the Martians' heads explode and,
they start freaking out. Their brains start wobbling, just pop.
Now, I appreciated this because they made no pretense to like, write themselves out of the problem in any kind of serious manner. He was just like, son, stupid's got to kill him.
Yeah. All
right, Slim Whitman, done. Because, I mean, this is usually where these movies go horribly wrong, where they're like, we wrote ourselves into a corner.
Oh, no, the answer is always table salt.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, it's table salt. Mm-hmm. This will kill that creature. It's just ordinary table salt. Yeah.
Or it's like, good thing the aliens have Windows 95 so we could upload this computer virus.
Well, see, this is again where I was thinking, like, to go back to earlier. Oh, no, you've declared war on us because you have a bird. Like, maybe birds are their downfall and they just throw seeds on them and the birds attack and they're done.
Could have got those exploding birds from
Birdemic. Birdemic.
Which would have fit in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
They would have.
Those are worse graphics than this. Scene of
like
this,
four aliens swinging around coat hangers.
Now, Birdemic costs like what? $4 to make? Like, B-movie, $4. Like, not B-movie, $70 million. Yeah. Like,
Quentin Tarantino could have enjoyed that girl's dirty-ass feet.
Yeah. Boom. Oh,
Jesus.
Hollywood, you should hire us.
Yeah.
Four guys in the screenplay. Yeah.
There you go.
We like hanging out with our families.
Yeah.
Just having ourselves a party.
Having ourselves a party.
So now we get the attack on the president's bunker here.
Right.
So the aliens just burst in. They throw in a snow globe. You think it's a hand grenade. It's not.
Yeah.
I guess that was kind of funny. General Decker doesn't think so, though. He goes two-gun style on these guys. Why the fucking herb?
It's like, I've had enough of you. Yeah. You think you can do whatever the fuck you want, but I'm going to prove you wrong.
He's like, I'm going to rip off Churchill's famous speech.
Yeah.
And the Emperor's like, well, I'm going to shrink you. I'll make you pint-sized.
Yeah.
And then step on you.
So he eventually, after his big dumb speech, does start firing at these aliens. And the bullets just ricochet off the glass this time?
Yeah, just bounce off of all of them this time.
This time there seems to be a clear like force field thing going on. I think from that... The Emperor one?
Yeah, well, maybe the Emperor, like, has better armor. I don't know.
That's very possible. Maybe he's got magic powers. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, who knows?
We don't discuss any of this, because we had to spend 20 minutes seeing Annette Bening and other Jack Nicholson, like, making plans for shit that won't matter.
Yeah.
So, President, after all his men are dead, he makes an appeal to reason here about the two nations working together and benefiting each other. And, it brings a tear to the Emperor's eye. So the Emperor extends his hand for the handshake.
And he takes his hand.
Comes off.
Yeah, he literally takes his hand. The hand starts wiggling all over him and tickling him.
Jack Nicholson almost acts like it's actually crawling around on him, but not quite.
Yeah, they're the best of his abilities.
You could tell he did the wiggles and jiggles, and then they just animated it on afterwards.
Well, yeah, because I'm pretty sure this was just a, all right, just pretend this is a hand, and someone's just, like, poking him with a broom occasionally. Like, oh, that's where a hand is. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the hand has a tail. It gets behind him and just stabs him through the spine. So that's the end of Jack Nicholson now.
Yeah. It turns into their flag.
Yep.
No more president.
Which also, didn't anyone else think he was about to get 1,000 years of pain when the hand started crawling down his back? Something.
Yeah,
that would have been funny.
I wasn't sure what was happening, but I thought it was going somewhere. It's just gross.
So now, whatchamacallit, we go back to Tom Jones and Jim Brown and, that crew. They find the plane, but the aliens are doing like a staging area with the Martian ambassador. And they're, there's a whole squad of them out there.
They're right outside the door.
Yes. Jim Brown's like, I will make the sacrifice.
Yeah, I got this. You guys get in the plane. You take off. I'll distract them. Which works way too well.
Yeah, they should just shot his ass.
He challenges the leader to single combat.
Which he agrees to.
Yeah, being a cocky bastard. It's not real. Jim Brown is literally twice his height and probably four times his mass.
Yeah.
It's just dumb as fuck. Like, why would you possibly agree to this?
Jim Brown just beats his ass.
Oh, yeah.
So he's just beating on them, but, like, all the Martians get involved, and they jump on top of him. But meanwhile, everybody that's in the plane, they take off. They're on their way to, fun and adventure or whatever.
Yeah, and eventually strength in numbers, like, they take him down.
Yeah.
But I really do think if Jim Brown just picked a direction and went in that direction, he would have just gotten out of this. They probably would have shot him. But
I'm pretty sure if Jim Brown, was like, I can take you. And the guy was ready to fight him, fisticuffs and whatever. He should have just grabbed him by the legs, started swinging him around. Yeah. that would have taken most of them out.
Mm-hmm. So
apparently Pam Grier can sense that something has gone wrong because they both have the Force. I guess.
Yeah.
So, at this point, the military has weaponized the, what was this guy's name again?
Slim Whitman.
Slim Whitman.
Was it the military or was it just this kid and his
The kid originally did it and he brought it to the radio station, but now, people are going around with it on their stereos. There's like an APC with big ass speakers.
Yeah, again, this is like things you probably should have spent more time on. The kid goes to this radio station and just starts the record that's on the player, which just happens to be Slim Whitman, apparently. So he starts playing that. Then he's walking around with some boom boxes. And yeah, now the military is just blasting it from their trucks because somehow they know.
Okay. Well,
whatever.
The aliens are fucked.
Yeah, this is screwing them all up.
Yeah. So the mothership starts to go down. The Emperor's head explodes. Pierce Brosnan and Sarah Jessica Parker admit their love for each other. No one gives one fuck.
No one gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Not even one.
They make out while they drown.
Yeah.
Hooray.
And their bodies are barely CGI'd out of the picture. Or green screened out of the picture.
Actually, do we see what happens to the dog?
I don't care.
The dog Jessica Parker chokes out one of the aliens, but presumably dies in the crash of the mothership.
I don't know. I'd like to think somewhere out there there's a dog-headed Sarah Jessica Parker.
There's a dog with a rocking body somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I mentioned this before. The drowning with your head attached to a dog body is a fitting end if you're going to cheat on Michael J. Fox. Just for everyone listening.
At this point,
there,
she's just a severed head rolling around on the floor.
That's true. Her head fell off.
Yeah.
You got a boner for Michael J. Fox here?
Yeah.
Why would you cheat on him?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just...
Yeah. It's Marty McFly.
Are you calling Rob a chicken?
He's more than Marty McFly, Rob. He's done other things.
Not in my heart. Well, he's done a lot of other things in my heart.
Spin
City,
all right?
But he's not in this movie, so let's
He did die an hour ago.
Yeah.
All
right.
So, we get an award ceremony.
In the movie.
Yeah. Grandma and Richie win the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yeah, Chewbacca.
From Natalie Portman, who's now president by default.
Somehow.
I don't know. Whatever.
Deep down the Order of Secession for that one. And Richie gives a speech about how we should live in teepees because it's better in certain ways.
Because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
I was like, your parents were right, kid. You are the worst.
Yeah.
He really is. Yeah. Like, what are you even talking about, man?
Then Tom Jones emerges from his cave with two ladies.
And a bunch of eagles land on his shoulder.
What's his name? Does show up.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Jim Brown shows up.
Jim Brown,
He's not dead. He traveled across the country in one night.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, I mean, I guess he was at an airport. He listened to the Foo Fighters, learned to fly.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Why not? He gets there. Everything's wonderful. And that's the end of Mars Attacks from 1996. All right, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 52%. Audience gave this a score of 53%. That's what they thought of this movie. What do you think about it, Joe?
Oh, all right, we're going in reverse order. So I do think that Tim Burton was successful in translating his vision into this film of making it like a 50s B-movie. However, that was not what I wanted to see, and I think he squandered a gigantic cast, mostly on characters that didn't go anywhere. And this movie was surprisingly brief for the amount of storylines going on in it, because most of them didn't go anywhere because the characters were just killed. This was one... I understand the desire for the bad special effects, but they really stuck out to me and didn't sit right. And just in general, not really much in this movie worked. I think the third act was pretty good, but it was not worth the wait getting there. So overall, I don't think there's really much to see here. Maybe if you're a fan of, you know, 50 schlock B movies, maybe. But I think we'll see what Rob has to say about that.
Okay.
So that's not a recommendation.
All right, Rob.
My opinion is pretty much going to mirror Joe's. Like, I think Tim Burton did a decent job of actually capturing the feel of a 50s B, like, monster movie. But because you had so many people, even in the short amount of time that the movie took place in, and because the Martians didn't actually attack until, like, the last third of the movie, it just dragged. Like, even though it wasn't a long movie, it just felt long. Like, there was a lot of times where I'm just like, all right, what's going on? Just move on, move along, get on with this. And yeah, like you said, the special effects, even though they were intentionally bad, like I said earlier, if they had been practical effects, that would have gotten a pass. Like, I would have seen, okay, they're practical effects, they look cheesy, it's got to be that they're meant to. But the fact that they were CGI makes me think it's just bad CGI. There's not that precedent of CGI. Well, I mean,
back then.
I mean, there is, because there was bad CGI back then, but it was like in the 50s, where it's just, they don't really know how to do it better at that time. Like, their technology, they did bad special effects because of the budget, because of whatever. But this is a relatively high-budget film using relatively state-of-the-art technology. And they tried to intentionally make it bad, but in doing so, just made it look bad. So it wasn't, I may not be explaining this very well, but the fact that it was CGI just made it harder to watch. Like, it wasn't like, oh, that's a callback, or, oh, that's intentional. It's just, oh, it's just bad CGI. Just more bad CGI in an avalanche of bad CGI 90s movies.
It's like, we didn't have an excuse for screwing this up. We intentionally screwed this up.
Right. But it doesn't translate that way. It just looks... It just looks poor. It doesn't look like it's trying to reference something. It just looks like it's just another on the pile of bad 90s CGI. So overall, I'm not recommending it just because it just was too long, a waste of a huge cast that didn't need to be there, and just couldn't hold my attention. Okay, Brian.
I would rather watch Independence Day than watch the movie again. Mm-hmm. Independence Day didn't hold up when we watched it before. This movie is not good. Its intent at being a laughable B movie kind of falls short of it. It just looks just like a shitty movie. Like, there are some funny moments in it, but I mean, you can find funny moments in almost any movie. I think the intentional bad moments weren't funny. The funny moments were not intentional, which makes it just a bad movie. So I would not recommend this movie. I'd recommend any other movie involving alien invasion. I guess. Yeah, this movie sucks. Sorry.
Oh, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. So, yes, for me, that's not real surprising, but I'm just going to be parroting a lot of the same stuff. I appreciate what they were going for here, but it didn't quite land. As Rob already pointed out, like, especially with the CGI, like, I don't know how it was.
Ha, didn't quite land like the CGI. Ha, I got it.
Like... I don't know how it was received back then, but now especially, yeah, it just looks like you didn't know what you were doing and it's shitty. So if they had used the stop motion animation, I think that would have given it more charm, and you would have, you know, especially if you're throwing in occasional puppets or even just like a dude in a bad wig at one point or another. Well, okay. But I mean, like, as one of the aliens from behind or something like that, that would have gone a long way to add a bit more character to the overall movie that would have made it more enjoyable. I also think you should have just set this movie in the 50s. Just go for it. Like, there's no reason to have it modern day and be that 50s. It's just weird, and it doesn't really work. So, yeah, just not... It's just... I see what they're doing, and I appreciate the attempt, but it's just not quite there. So it doesn't really hold up. I would not recommend it.
You know what would have been funny? Is when they had an alien hooker or whatever, they just painted a face over a dome. Like, so it's obviously, obviously
an alien. That would have been great.
This is what I'm saying. If you want to be funny with it, be funnier with it. Have those jokes land more. You know, I mean, the cast is great, and they're all good actors, and they know what they're doing. But, like, you waste them. There's so much time spent on building backstories for characters that never do anything or don't last.
Character number two.
Yeah, like, we don't need all that. Like, have it be a throwaway scene, fine, but we don't need to spend the first half hour of this movie getting to know most of the people that are going to be dead in the next 5 minutes afterwards. So,
you know what I could have used? Make Jack Nicholson, have him stay as Artland, and have the president be Nicolas Cage.
I don't think the world was ready for that back then, but that's not a bad idea.
That's the time Tim Burton was trying to make Nicolas Cage Superman, right?
It might have been around then, yeah. Anyway, that's not a recommend from any of us. Since we're on the topic and it's the 40th anniversary, I'm going to say let's maybe recommend Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Can I? Yeah, actually, that is a good one. I have a recommendation, but it's not really a movie. I was going to say you take this, Independence Day Resurgence, War of the Worlds, Battle of Los Angeles, the remake.
Okay.
Battle of Los Angeles, and what was the other one?
Science?
Battleship?
Battleship. And Battleship.
Skyline?
Yeah, and Battleship, and you put them all in an oil drum. And then douse them in lighter fluid and light it on fire. Watch that for 90 minutes or until the acrid smell of burning plastic gets to you, at which point put out the fire by pissing on it.
At least it'll keep you warm.
And I think that would be a better evening's entertainment.
I'm going to recommend you watch Ed Wood, which is a pretty great Tim Burton movie set around B-movies.
I love Ed Wood, so I can't argue with that.
Is Planet 9 from Outer Space actually my favorite alien invasion movie? I think, honestly...
Is it even an alien invasion movie?
That's a good question, actually. I mean, it's an alien attack.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah.
I might not work on Joe.
What's the one with the pod people?
Invasion
of the Body Snatchers.
Which one?
The one with Donald Sutherland doing the PowerPoint.
The one that ends with the pennies. The pennies.
All right. If it's just an alien attacking, it's the thing. But
oh yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best one of all.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I mean, They Live, I guess, is an alien invasion movie.
Yeah. True. All right. Yeah. So there are good ones. Just the conventional alien military attack ones always seem to suck.
All right. So let's move this along here, Brian. What else do we have? What's going on?
It's time to roll to see what we have to watch next at E20 of Fate. And it's Tony's roll. Tony, it's your turn.
I believe it is.
Well, make it do.
Off to a bad start here, as Joe has cursed the room.
Maybe I blessed it. You don't know.
Nope.
It's three.
That's three. Tony's go-to number.
It is.
Well, I mean, I don't know why he thinks no. Oh, God. Okay. Yep.
That was a curse.
That was a curse. All right. I need to stretch real quick.
You need a drum roll?
Oh, boy. Yeah, my. Number three is 1995's. And you know, it's already a bad sign. Cutthroat Island.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Wow.
Is this that one with Gina Davis?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is the one that made Gina Davis stop working for a long
while.
Oh, man.
A while.
Like, until, like, 2 years ago or something. And
why she got divorced from her husband, too?
Maybe. I think this is one of the biggest box office flops.
Yeah, this ever. Was a big... Well, at the time, this was one of the biggest.
Either way.
It's been trounced a lot since.
Yeah, but. Did this one just straight up end Matthew Modine? I don't know if he did anything after this.
Oh, there was...
Oh, I'm sure this ended a lot of careers, too.
Good stuff on here, too. There was also some bad stuff on here.
Care to share any of that?
Well, we barely missed another Ernest movie. Let me just tell you that.
Oh, boy.
Three Joe shell Joe, yeah, would have been upset. I mean, would have been happy.
All right, well, so what else you got for us, Rob? Besides bad news.
Oof. Well, that is it for whatever this movie was. Mars Attacks.
We was? Whatever this movie we was.
Oh, it we is was. We was. Far past my bedtime. We want to thank you so very much for listening, guys. We really appreciate all of your support. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe via iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. We have a new episode every week. Please help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes and liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. It'll really help us out. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at 4AM Podcast. If you want to contact us for any reason, email, suggestions, critiques, if we just bashed your favorite movie ever for some reason, you can reach us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can, of course, call our Google Voice number at 203-787-8946. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, tell us what your favorite alien invasion movie is.
Sure.
I want to know.
Just call us. Our phone's dry.
Yeah.
Draw us a picture of Samuel L. Jackson playing a Martian.
Why don't you call anymore? You should call more often. Oh, no, I sound like an Adam Sandler character.
We're here all by yourselves. You need to call in.
We're lonely.
Send us pictures of, like, your snacks and stuff.
Ooh. Send us snack recipes.
Yes.
That's what we want.
I like that.
Snack recipes.
Snacks. Snacks are good, too.
I'll make the best one for the guys.
All right.
And we'll put it on our Instagram page.
Still haven't had our ring-ding and
goat cheese pizza.
Yeah.
Get on that.
Yeah, you really wanted to make that?
And you still haven't slurped my butt.
That's
on that
true.
Note, I think it's time for us to go.
Yeah. I believe so. So, we'll see you next week with Cutthroat Island. Until then.
Deuces.
Later, guys.
Rap, rap. Good night, everybody.